Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you guys are here. How's the conference been going so far? Is it good? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Thumbs up. Cool, cool. Halfway. A little gladiator. Cool thing. Good, good, good. Well, before we get started, I don't know a lot of you, most of you, majority of you. So I just want us to kind of go around the room just really briefly. And we're going to kind of say like four statements about ourselves. I'll tell you what those four statements are. And it's just so that we kind of know who's in the room, who we're talking to. So while we're talking to each other, while we're discussing things, we kind of have a little bit of context for one another. So it's your name, your church and denominational affiliation, your point of interest in this workshop, I'll explain that in a second, and your role at the church or in involvement. So it doesn't matter if you're hired staff or anything like that, like just if you're like, oh, I'm a volunteer worship leader, or you could say, I just help with the youth group, that's fine. Obviously your name, you should know your name, and then the church and denominational affiliation, I just want to know kind of like what the background is there. And then the point of interest part is kind of like, why are you here? Why are you sitting in this workshop? And it's perfectly okay to say, this was the most interesting block at this time. I'm not actually interested, but I just figured I would come to this because it sounded interesting. Okay? So we'll start here. We're just going to take maybe not even 5 minutes to kind of go around. Let's make it quick. Let's make it punchy. Go for it.
I'm Brock from Problem Wesleyan Church. I'm Wesleyan. I'm a youth pastor, and my interest is I have a youth band that isn't very serious.
Cool. Are you part of that youth band?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, that's awkward. Okay, go ahead.
I'm faithful at church in Barrie. I'm here because I get serious about a youth band because they don't have one.
Cool.
And, yeah.
Nice, nice. Cool. Very cool.
Hi, my name is Fitz. I'm from Brampton Salvation Army as well.
Okay.
I also play with the worship team.
Cool.
And wanted to get some more information and ideas on how I can use that in my church.
Sure. Sure. Nice.
Oh, I'm Kieran.
Kieran.
Spring Garden.
Nice.
Student leader, and I'm here because we're told to join the youth band, but we need to know more
about it. We were told to join the youth band. Cool. Cool.
Basically, same as him, but my name is Gideon.
So. Yeah. And are we saying same as in like same DNA because you guys are twins, or is it like? Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah, yeah. Because I looked over, I was like, "There's two of you." Cool. Very cool. All right. Well, you know what? We'll cycle back. You at the back. Yep. Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, start summing up. Very cool. Go ahead. Okay. Sure, sure. Cool.
My name is Kevin. I go to North Toronto Chinese Alliance Church.
Yep. Nice. Sure. Cool. Nice. Yep.
Oh, yeah. My name is Silas. I go to Kingdom Christian Community Church.
Yep.
It's evangelical Protestant. And the reason I came here was because I want to learn more about what it means to get serious.
To get serious? Okay, cool. Very cool.
Sure.
Yeah. Nice.
My name is Keila. I come from a church. It's a mouthful. It's called Our Crisis Wonderful Mission Ministries International.
Come on. Yeah, it's a song, man. That's verse one right there. Come on.
I'm located at the Scarborough church plant.
Yeah.
So we basically have about 30 people.
Sweet.
And we're trying to get our youth to learn more about actual worship instead of just playing instruments and performing.
Yeah.
Also at the music leader. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yourself.
Yeah, my name is Ryan. I'm the student ministry pastor at Wonderful Gospel Assembly.
Hey.
So I'm here. I'm doing had a youth band, not had a youth band.
Mm-hmm.
I play worship on Sundays, and I definitely want to have a culture of worship at youth, but they're all not. Have other things to do. So.
They can be. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You're on staff here. I know. It's cool. It's cool. We'll go to you. And then we have two at the back. We're stating our name, our church and denominational affiliation, our point of interest here at the workshop, so why are you here? And then maybe your role at the church, if you're a volunteer or if you're paid staff. You don't have to say if you're a volunteer or paid staff, but just what do you do at the church?
So I'm actually, I work with Youth for Christ.
Yep.
In Huntsville. So we run a youth drop-in center where we
Sweet.
So really, my interest though is in applying youth worship band in the outreach
industry. Nice, very nice. Very cool. And what's your name?
James.
James. Great, thank you.
My name is Sean.
Sean.
And I am a volunteer
for
this.
Cool.
It's
just following you. Yeah. It's plus one, it's cool. Yeah, no, that's sweet. That's sweet. And, yeah, okay. All right, sweet. Well, guys, welcome. I want to welcome you all here. I just want to maybe briefly just kind of explain what this is not. I'm not going to give you the exact strategy for your youth band. You all come from different contexts. You all have different ideas of what this should look like for your church. And you've all been called by God differently. For the context that you're in. And so please don't look at me as though someone who's going to give you exactly what you're going to do for your youth band or your youth ministry. I just want to get some ideas out there and to put forth some concepts and things of as you shape how your youth band looks like, that you guys can actually take these things and kind of apply them as maybe some pillars as to how to build the foundation of what your youth band will stand on. So, who am I? My name is Adam. My name is Adam Hoskins. I am currently the creative arts pastor at a church in Scarborough called Global Kingdom Ministries. I was formerly the chapel coordinator here at Tyndale University College of Seminary. This is my alma mater. So, very happy to be back here with Rebecca Grimes and the team doing this youth ministry conference. This is very dear to my heart. I'm also the co-director of the Worship Project Toronto. And so I've had a lot of experience over the years kind of growing up in youth ministry. I started in ministry a decade ago. And when I started, a youth pastor was in my home and he said, you know what, Adam, I've prayed about it. The Lord has spoken and we think that you're going to be the next youth pastor of our church. At that time, I was enrolled in Tyndale and I was not looking to be in ministry. I just wanted Christian education. I just wanted to know how to be a better Christian. And so the Lord called me into ministry at that time, and I spent 4 years doing youth ministry, not involved in worship ministry at my church. Most people at my church had no idea that I even played instruments or anything like that or sang. I was just involved in kind of the hands-on work in youth ministry like some of you here. After that 4 years, my lead pastor approached me and he said, listen, Adam, I think your gifts and the leading of the Lord is kind of directing us to move you into a different position. This was devastating for my wife and I. We cried, and we were saying, oh my goodness, we're leaving youth ministry. But as the Lord would have it, it wasn't actually leaving youth ministry. I became the worship pastor for our next generation worship, next generation ministries at the church. So what that means is that I coordinated, discipled, and facilitated services and worship ministries for our children, our youth, our young adults, and kind of every other service that did not happen in our main sanctuary. And that was incredible. I realized very quickly that I was in over my head, because what we had was the main sanctuary was this kind of well-resourced place. They had all of the equipment, all of the tech, all of the volunteers. We had four people. We had four people for a combined, I think it was at the time, five different services that we had to run. And so we very quickly had to develop a way and a method of doing worship ministry that was sustainable, that was healthy for our volunteers. And we didn't get it perfect at first or anything like that, but it was very clear that the Lord was with us in it. And I started to get plans and downloads of what exactly this would look like for our context. And so we launched this thing called Kingdom Worship. If you're looking for it, it's still online on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. I don't currently run that now. I oversee the people who run that now. But it's basically spelled Kingdom Worship without all the vowels. We did it. We thought it was cool and hip and trendy and everything like that. Don't judge me. All right. So not too long ago, our leadership saw the development and the process that we had developed for KW and the fruit of the ministry, and they decided that they wanted that for the entire church. And so that's why I'm here now as a creative arts pastor at the church that I'm at. So I want to talk to you guys maybe a little bit about what the potential is. This is the only slide that I have for you guys. I like to kind of talk face-to-face instead of reading the whole slide thing. So if you're taking notes, if you want me to slow down or anything like that, just raise your hand and just say, hey, can you repeat that or whatever. This can be a discussion. This doesn't have to be me just, you know, spewing at you guys for the next 40 minutes. So I want to take our context and just to kind of see the potential of where your ministries can go. So we started with a zero-based budget, which means we had to raise all the money for everything that we did. We did not get a dime from the church. I know that that will be near and dear to some of your hearts, because sometimes youth ministry falls low on the list of priorities that your church is doing, and then the youth band is even lower on that list of priorities. It's like a sub-point on that low youth ministry budget. So you guys are wondering, well, maybe Adam, you came from a context that has a really big budget. We didn't. We had to get creative. It started with four youth and a handful of leaders who led worship. And this was including our main band and the entire church. We had just a handful of our main band volunteers that were willing to serve in the next generation. Believe it or not, serving in the next generation for some of your talented and called worship leaders can actually be intimidating for those people that you see that are like, wow, they do so good. Some of them are actually afraid to step into some of the services with children and youth. It's actually intimidating for them. So we didn't have a lot of people. We started with occasional live worship in youth and young adults with only one band and some friends of mine. So this grew to be over 40 youth and young adults, volunteers, who became a part of this ministry of Kingdom Worship. We had a volunteer base of 40 youth and young adults just for Kingdom Worship, just for our next generation worship ministries. We launched a youth choir called Urban Praise Chorale that is still in operation today. They're singing on Sunday. They're still going today. And then from there, we also facilitate live worship for kids, for youth, young adults, and we have become the core team of our Sunday morning rotation. So currently, as you're getting maybe a scope of this, I serve in a large church. Our church, we have about 2,000 people on a Sunday morning, on average. And so we host about 7 services per week. This is including all of our next generation services. This is including our prayer services. We have concurrent Sunday morning services for kids and, you know, like back-to-back Sunday morning services for both our adults, our youth, and our kids. So it works out to be about 7 services per week. And we have live worship in every single one of these services. I don't say this to boast. I just say this to say that like with the Lord, with the planning that you're able to do and maybe some process, you're actually able to grow a base of volunteers that can support what your church has to offer. I know that sometimes when you're sitting down and you're thinking, man, how are we going to get people to play every single week, plus have a youth band, plus this, plus that, and it seems like we're running short on volunteers, there is a way to garner more buy-in and volunteers for the things that you are doing. So that's kind of the potential of where God can actually grow a ministry. We've seen God grow our ministry in miraculous and incredible ways. People that we would have never have dreamed. We never dreamed we would have, you know, four drummers, you know what I mean, ready to go or something like that, ready on rotation. That sounds like a, like, oh my goodness, you have four drummers, we can't even get one that plays on beat, you know. So, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, man, we've seen God bring people. As we trust the Lord, as we have faith with what He has called us to do, He actually, we lean on Him to bring us the people. If we're short somebody, we pray for that person. We say, Lord, we need someone to run slides because I can't lead and run off of ProPresenter remote on my iPad. It's just not working out. We need someone to run slides. So whatever it is. So I wanted to kind of define for us what this title is, Getting Serious About Your Youth Band. I know some of you guys use that in your explanation of why you're here, what getting serious is. And this is kind of where I want to park for a good portion of our time. I want to define kind of expectation and what serious actually looks like. It's important to define this for the people, for yourself, for the people that are part of your ministry, as well as for your leadership. It's important to define this because everybody has a different expectation of what a youth band looks like. All of us in this room, when we say, you know, our youth band will be serving on a Sunday morning, it all looks different in all of our heads. Even people who go to the same church, it could look different. Did you have a question?
I have a question.
Sure. Yeah, I'll get to that in just a bit. But I just want to kind of define, I know I said questions and stuff like that. I will answer that. We're getting there. All right, cool. All right. So there are too many pastors, directors, and worship leaders who think that a successful youth band means you're going to be the next Hillsong, Bethel, Vertical, or Elevation. I want to first and foremost define a few things for you. More influence doesn't correlate to success. Just because you have followers on Instagram or you have a lot of people coming out to your youth services, that doesn't actually mean that you have a successful youth band. Great production doesn't equate to better worship. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at your youth service, how many lights you have, the smoke machine, the cool, the hip graphics and everything like that. It doesn't matter how much of that stuff you have. That doesn't mean that you guys are actually succeeding at what God has called you to do. And finally, the general one, more isn't always better. You see, we have to acknowledge and address the temptation that lies within to be like others. When you overcome that, you will gain a healthy perspective on where your youth band should go. The funny thing, the tricky thing about creatives is that we live in a culture that heralds creatives as these kind of, almost these demigods, these people who are able to see the magical thing in a picture to make that photo. You know, I stood with a photographer friend of mine, and we both took the picture of the same thing, and his looked so much better on the same phone and everything. And I was like, how? He's like, I just see it different. But sometimes we say that is actually better, and that's not actually true. And there's a temptation for us to kind of strive to see these people who, If we'll be totally honest, sometimes we idolize, we look at it and we say, wow, they're doing amazing things for Jesus. We can be just like them. Well, maybe your job isn't to be just like them. Maybe your job isn't to be playing on a stage in O2 Arena in front of, you know, 120,000 people. Maybe that's not actually what the Lord has called you to do. And the problem with that is this, is that if we're striving for that deep down, maybe we haven't actually expressed that, but if that is actually part of our desire, we are doing our youth band, we're doing our church, we're doing ourselves, and most of all, we're doing the Lord a disservice. So we have to address that innate desire in us, that as we're getting serious about our youth band, part of getting serious about our youth band means getting serious about ourselves. It's actually acknowledging the things that we are tempted to do or tempted to be like, that crave for fame and for power and for influence, that thing that resides within all of us, we have to get serious and acknowledge that. And the Lord will work on that in us. But we have to first acknowledge that it is there. Maybe it's in some of us more than others. That's irrelevant. The fact is that there's a high chance that it is there. And then the second thing about this is that we actually have to address this at every level of leadership that we have in this youth band. You see, you might be a volunteer worship leader, and you're addressing that within yourself. But you're underneath a youth pastor who thinks that the ideal of a youth band is that, oh, in 2 years, we're going to have a recording project and we're going to release that to the world, and then our youth ministry is going to skyrocket on the back of my preaching and this youth band. You have to address that. Or you might have a senior pastor who is saying, you know what, I want to actually invest in the youth ministry, I want to invest in this youth band, but part of that is that the expectation is that in a few years, you guys are going to have a massive influence over the city. You see, these idols reside in all of us. It's not just us, but it's in our leaders. It's in the people that we love. It's in the people that we admire. And we have to address these things. Now, I'm not talking to you to go into your senior pastor's office, kick down his or her door, and say, listen, you commissioned us to do a youth band, but this doesn't mean that we're going to be Hillsong in 3 years, and then walk out. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is have a conversation of expectation with them. Hey, you're allowing us to do this youth band thing, so what does this look like in your eyes? And having that conversation. My hope and prayer is that you guys are in situations and in ministries that you can have those kinds of conversations, those open conversations with your leaders. The second part about getting serious about our youth band is that you need a strategy and a plan for your team. There's that one quote, I don't know. Okay, it's not The Office. There's a quote about, like, you know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, or something like that. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, you've all heard some variation of that, I'm sure. But you need a plan for where you're going. I think there's too many people in ministry who have just good hopes and dreams and not enough groundwork and plans to get to where they want to go. And the thing is that sometimes we label this under faith. You know, well, we have faith that God will take us where we're going to go. Oh, we have faith for this and we have faith for that. Sure, but faith also takes action, right? Faith actually takes us moving a step in that direction as though God is already behind it and God has already gone before us. So you need a plan for your youth band. And your plan, I think, your plan should include a few things. You can take these things or leave them. It's your choice. You need a vision for your youth band. And the rough definition for me as a vision, as it was described to me, was that it's what you see your youth band becoming. So after you've worked out all that nitty-gritty idol stuff, and you've sat down with the Lord, and you're asking the Lord, Lord, what do you see this youth band becoming? A pastor once said that it's not just vision, but it's God-breathed vision. And that's my prayer for all of you, is that you would have God-breathed vision for your youth bands, for your youth ministry. Because if it's a vision that we just come up on our own, there's the temptation for those idols to creep back in. So what do you see your youth band becoming? And write that down. You need a mission. Mission, loosely described, is how you're going to get there. How is this going to flesh out over the course of however many years? Okay? The next one is you need goals and you need markers and waypoints to define your progress. Notice I didn't say success. I'm saying define your progress, right? So just to give you guys a quick example, when we launched Kingdom Worship, which was our next generation worship ministry, we launched it with a 5-year plan. We said, okay, for the next 5 years, this is what things are going to look like. And it included a vision of songwriting, it included a vision of recording, it included a vision of kind of all these, you know, these things of serving our denomination at the capacity that they needed. And it turns out that we accomplished that 5-year plan in 3 years. And that's okay. Right? But we had goals, and we knew that when we had reached a certain point with our ministry that we were going to go to something next. So you actually need some goals and a waypoint of things so that you can actually see, okay, this is the progress and this is where we're going. Now, at any point in time, should the Lord direct you, you can reevaluate these things. You can reevaluate your goals. These aren't set in, this isn't the Bible. This isn't something that's set in stone. It's like, this is never changing. It can change. But you need goals. You need a starting point. You need things that you can evaluate your progress. You also need a common script. I heard there's a pastor in Ajax at a church called Sanctus. His name's John Thompson. He talks about this thing called a common script. And I love that term of a common script because for years I was crying out for this while in ministry. It was just this way of kind of clearly defining what it is we're talking about. And a common script can kind of flush out in two different ways in, as it pertains to your youth band. Maybe as your church, you've already got some of this language. I wouldn't change that. If your church is already using good language for things, I would just adopt the terms that they have in the context for your youth band, should it apply. But it's common language or sayings that help enforce the vision and give clarity to what you're doing. They can both be small sayings that remind, or they can be, you know, larger actual statements. So we wrote down for Kingdom Worship the common script that we had, which was kind of like the slogan, if you were, it was discovering the voice of the next generation. And we derived this because we sat down and we said, we are constantly, when the youth come to the large service, it's almost as though they get amalgamated into the old culture. So they're singing songs that the older generation are all reminiscing to. They're singing like Shout to the Lord. And some of the youth who are singing, some of us in this room, we love Shout to the Lord. That's like, that's still our jam. You know what I mean? That's all right. But some of the youth, right, someone who's born in like year 2000, right, they're coming in and they're like, Shout to the Lord. What do you mean? Like, what is this? Am I supposed to shout right now? Like, so, you know, they're singing songs and they're amalgamated into this culture of years and years of church, right, as a generation. So we wanted to have this idea of this is actually the voice of the next generation. We want to discover the voice of the next generation. And what is it that the youth, as they come up, that it'll be the songs that they are singing. So that was kind of like our vision, almost like our slogan. And then there's smaller sayings that we had that were just common things. So when I would walk into a youth practice, I would say a term that's, I would just say, master your craft. And everyone in the room knew what that meant. And of course, you could probably guess, but it was essentially, you need to be practicing your instrument apart from this context of just having. And so, but what we derived that from was this idea that if God has given us gifts, then we are actually stewards of these gifts. So it all kind of boiled down into this phrase of master your craft, right? So they knew it wasn't just, oh, I need to practice outside of this concept, but we had built into this common script, this idea of master your craft, we had built into this idea of stewardship, this idea of understanding that these are gifts from the Lord that we're rendering back unto Him. This idea that as we become excellent, we actually move out of the way. So that was all contained into these three words, master your craft. Even the term gatherings, right? We used to throw services. I can't remember, but we used to throw all these kinds of terms about when we would get together. But our church developed a common script term of gatherings. This is the gathering of God's people, and there's a whole bunch of things behind there. And then there was defining things about roles. This is all part of common script. We have worship leader, and then we have vocalist. Just because you hold a microphone in our context, that doesn't actually mean that you're a worship leader. You could just be someone who is there to support. And if you are a worship leader, there is a greater expectation of you to not just sing a song, but you're actually leading and you're shepherding our congregations in worship. But this has now become common term in our context. I'm not saying this so that you guys can adopt these same terms. What I'm saying is you need to define these things so that as you say them, it gives further definition to what you guys are trying to accomplish. All right. The last one I really love is, and you know, for the worship leaders in the room, we talk about this thing about get your reps. And it's, you know, I grew up as an athlete. I love sports. And coaches always used to tell me, well, you need to get your reps. I'd be on a free throw line, and I'd be shooting, and I'd be like, okay, I made 10 free throws. And I'd be like, all right, good, make 50 more. It's about getting your reps. And we talk about this for our worship leaders. You need to get your reps. Some people come off the stage and like, they call me Pastor Adam. Like, nah, Pastor Adam, it was horrible. No. They were standing there with their hands in their pockets, and no. And I felt like I couldn't. All this kind of stuff, and I'm like, okay. Well, how did you lead them? And we talked through all that stuff. Well, I don't think I did such a good job, and blah, blah, and I was so. Blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? It sounds like you need more reps. Sounds like you actually just need more time in doing this stuff, getting your reps. And so eventually then the conversation then after, when they come to me with their complaining, I'm like, is this a reps issue? Is this something that you just need to keep doing more? But it becomes common script, and it becomes something of encouragement for our worship leaders in our context. This is kind of the power of the communication, of effective communication and common script in our context for our teams. Am I going too fast? No? Okay, great. Awesome. All right. Another thing that your plan must include are the transition points of ministry. So this is going to kind of cover your question. I forgot your name. But this is going to... Brian?
Rahim.
Nice. This is going to kind of cover your question in just a second. But your transition points of ministry, you need to start thinking about how you onboard and how you offboard people into your ministry, right? So maybe it's once a year you hold auditions or interviews, whatever you want to call them for whatever context. I know there's intimidating language there and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you want to hold onboarding sessions, whatever you want to call them. And then also making, you know, we set aside, we've given our people a one-year term commitment, and that just allows people that if life happens, you know, maybe someone graduates and they're living somewhere different. They're going away to school. It's not this awkward conversation of like, yeah, I'm going away to school, so I can't come tonight. You know, like there's actual conversation of like, yeah, at the end of this year, I'm going away to school. And then we can actually bless people and we can say like, you know what, you have served so well and we want to honor you and we want to bless you into whatever you're doing next. And then onboarding people is that sometimes we don't just want people to come and walk into this train that's already moving forward, but we want to have different points at which people can kind of join on. So how that looks like in our context is sometimes we will put an announcement on our Sunday morning service. We will just announce, hey, if anybody wants to join, if you're musical and you want to join the youth worship team, if you want to join the Kingdom Worship, Next Generation Worship Team, we are holding a general meeting. And so we have a few of these general meetings at different points of the year. We have one in September. We have one in January. And then we'll have one specifically for kids camp in June. That's for our summer ministry. And then sometimes it happens by actually just approaching people. So when I say that we had four volunteers, I was like four youth as a part of this. I wasn't actually kidding. And what I did was I went to a few youth that I knew were musical, and one of them is a bit of a drastic story, and I'm not suggesting you do this, but I asked the person to stay home from school, to pick a different school so that they could serve in our youth band. And this wasn't just like a Hail Mary call, like, you, come join the youth band, and then, you know what, don't go to school at that place, don't follow whatever, you know what I mean? No, it was actually like a well thought out and well prayed for thing. But I believe, so his name is Josh Rambiju. If any of you guys know me outside of this context, you'll probably see him with me. But I believe that Josh was actually someone who was given to me to disciple and to mentor and to train. And Josh has been walking with me for years now. And so he was a kid in my youth group. He started in our youth group and he had a guitar on him. He's a little bit of a quirky guy, a little wiry guy and stuff, and musical. He's very smart. He loves systems and processes. And one day it just dawned on me that, like, I believe that the Lord was saying, like, he's going to be someone who journeys with you. And so I asked him, I said to him, I said, Josh, what are you doing in the fall? And he's like, I'm thinking about going to, I think it was Waterloo he was thinking about going to for some program. And I said, okay, that's interesting. Okay, cool. He's like, why? Well, what's up? I'm like, nah, nothing. Went back to the Lord, prayed about it. I'm like, God, like, are you sure? Like, this is actually a big thing. Like, if somebody asked me to not go to a certain school and stuff, I'd be like, who are you? And I'm like, oh. Like, what do you think you're... Yeah, anyway, it'd just be a weird thing. So the Lord was just like, yeah, this is something for Josh. So I went back to Josh and I said, listen, okay, man, big things are happening, and here's what I'm proposing to you. Don't go to Waterloo. Go to York University and come join our youth ministry and walk beside me. I don't know how it's going to look like. I don't know how long it's going to be for, but I just believe that this is what the Lord... And so he took some time to think and to pray about it, and we concluded that this is actually what the Lord had called him to do. And so now Josh is full-time staff on our church, and he walks with me every day. And it's this process, this beautiful process of discipleship where I get to pour into his life in every area. But it started with this idea of youth band. It can grow into these beautiful relationships. So sometimes it might be a personal ask, right? And sometimes it might be a general announcement. But I think what we want to hone in on this onboarding, offboarding process of things is that they must prayerfully be done. There are some people that are meant to journey with you for the long haul. There are some people that are meant to journey for the short period. And there are some people who just think it's interesting but have no place in your youth band. And you as a leader need to be discerning enough to know who is who. That's your responsibility. And these things cannot be discerned except by asking the Lord. Because there's some people whose situations look absolutely horrible. They're saying, you might be saying, there is no way that person has enough character, enough competence, and all of these things that it takes to be a part of our team. But maybe the Lord is actually saying, no, they're going to learn that under you. That's actually, they're going to grow that under you. And there are other people who are an absolute, who look like an absolute gift from the Lord. They can play the guitar, the piano, they can sing like an angel, they know how to wrap cables, they know how to do, you know what I mean? Like, they're just, you know what I mean? Like, they just seem like a gift from the Lord. Right? You know, you all know who I'm talking about, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's that one guy, right? It was just doing everything. But maybe the Lord might be like, don't touch him. I have other plans. Don't touch that person. And so as leaders, as church leaders, we need to be able to discern these things. We need to be able to know who is going to run with us and who is not. So, the next part about getting serious about our youth band is moving from this place of singing songs to facilitating worship. From singing songs to facilitating worship. There is a difference between people who sing songs and people who lead worship. Leadership is more of a pastoral role than it has to do with your craft and gifts. I'll use myself as an example in this. I, in my context, am not the best vocalist. I am not the best musician. I do not know the most about sound engineering or whatever it is. By all accounts, I am mediocre at everything. But one thing I do very well that I am confident in is that I can lead worship. And it has nothing to do with a skill that I have or a voice and stuff. If I sung to you today, you wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, wow, he's so good. No, that's not me at all. Rebecca and Steve are back there. They can attest. They've played on bands with me, in worship bands with me for years. And they can attest that I am not stellar at anything. But I'm called. I'm called. And there's a pastoral gifting on my life. And because of that, it translates that when I have a room of people, I just know what to do. And this is not a skill that I learned. This wasn't a YouTube video that I watched and said, what do you do when you have a room of people and you want to know how to worship the Lord? No, this is a gift from the Lord. And for me, it is a guaranteed place of power in ministry. But it is not my own. I did not get this for myself. And I don't know if it will be taken away at some point. But there's a difference. We have to recognize that there are people who sing songs, and then there are people who lead and shepherd God's people in worship to Him. Yes?
Question on that. Do you think this is something, and I know you said that's something that God has uniquely gifted you with.
Sure.
Is it a skill that can be developed to a certain extent as well from people?
Let me explain that. That every gift that God gives you, He still expects you to develop. So there are some people who may be gifted in some things, but the Lord actually still expects us to steward that gift. So, I don't know. Again, that's a matter of prayer, right? Like, it's very difficult. I don't look at people and just say, oh, yeah, like, you've got it. Sorry, bud, but you've got it, you know? But I think over time you can really discern, and you have to have that flexibility to be able to say, okay, this person, although they might not be the whatever, right, there is an anointing and a gift for them to do this task. Does that make sense? Go ahead.
Do you have some resources we could know about and how to grow that gift? Or is it just reps?
Reps and discipleship. There's no, I think that there's a lot that you can read on it, but really it takes walking with an individual that already operates in a gift to kind of know. I'm so hesitant to give, outside of technical things like, you know, playing an instrument or running slides or whatever it is, I'm so hesitant to give like baseline resources of like, oh yeah, do this and you'll be good. Like it really is person to person.
So like I've got this kid in my youth group, he's got spiritual momentum, he is gifted and interested in leading worship.
Yeah.
Not the position, but like he cares about worship.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how to resource him. Like do I just say, Wyatt, you're gonna lead this song, go for it, bud?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to him after?
Did you say that you said that you were not a worship leader, right? You run the youth ministry, right? You do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So
my title is pastor,
but you do it. Yeah, cool. I know people like yeah, for sure. So I think one thing that I would, you know, recommend is that anytime that you're there to lead worship, have him right beside you. Mm-hmm. So what I did with Josh, for 6 months, I led every Next Generation service for 6 months. I was tired. But every single time I led a service, I had one of my prospective worship leaders right beside me. And every single time there was intentional debrief, and there were things that like it was like if I felt like the Lord was going to do something, you know, I would explain it to them after if that moment happened or whatever. It was just kind of like intentional teaching, and I made the expectation clear to them that like one day you're going to do this. It's kind of like Simba with, you know, Mufasa, like one day this will all be your, you know what I mean, kind of thing. Like no, but for real, like it really is in a sense like a discipleship. Almost like a fathering of people, right? Of being able to kind of walk them into not only maturity, but also their gifts, right? Cool. Yeah. Leading worship is more about following the Spirit of the Lord and leading His people than it is about making a song sound good. I think some of us, it's almost the easy way for us to say, oh, you guys sound really great, so therefore it must have been good. But I think deep down we know that there is a connection to the Lord that is to be had in the atmosphere of corporate worship. And if we are missing it at the sake of our songs sounding good, we're kind of missing the point. And when I say kind of, I mean like we are. We're missing the point. Yeah, sure.
How much do you teach that to your band members too?
I teach this to everybody. Cool. Yeah, I teach this to everybody. Yeah. I treat my band members, they're not our background hype people, right? Like our band members. They're not like background dancers and singers and players or whatever. They're just as much a part of this. So I tell them that, you know, sometimes I music direct, which is MD, so I'll be talking to them on a microphone direct to their ears that no one else can hear, just for people. So sometimes I'll tell them as I'm playing, I'm saying, don't worry, guys, I got it. You can actually just enter in right now. That's fine. That's totally cool. I have this moment. And then I'll call them back in when I need to. So there's an ongoing directive that, like, you are much a part of this atmosphere as everyone else. Okay. So we need healthy worship leaders and worshipers and band members and vocalists and whoever it is. Sometimes we put immature and unprepared people into spiritual leadership, like leading worship, just because they are skillful. And that is a mistake. Leading worship is not a joke. It takes discipleship, modeling, and mentoring, like a lot of what I was talking about. It takes a life on a life. There is no shortcut to this, guys. If we're developing healthy believers, Jesus' model is not antiquated and old and now we have technology so we don't have to follow this model of discipleship. Discipleship and growing people into spiritual maturity takes life on life. There's no way around it. So if you're going to grow a healthy worship leader, I'm sorry, like I know you're asking about this and I'm not picking on you or anything like that, but it's not about sending them a playlist of videos saying study and let me know what you think. But it's actually about walking with people through this. So, with that being said, yeah, go for it.
So, with that, yeah. Do you suggest
sure.
I'm trying to think in my head how you've been getting reps in other than the youth event.
Yeah.
You suggest them, like, just leaving their family or something? Like, what would you suggest as other ways to get reps in so that it isn't just
So a number of ways would be I would put our youth band in front of every possible service we could. So if we had a prayer service and they're like, oh, we just need a keyboard player and a vocalist. We're like, we're bringing the team. We got it. We're doing the whole thing, right? And I would get my youth band to go in front of our, you know, to go for a prayer ministry. And sometimes it would be a bit of overkill, but our people would understand the context is that like, no, like these are our young people who desire to lead us in worship and who desire to grow as worshipers. The other thing in terms of reps is in rehearsal. I think sometimes we spend way too much time trying to figure out the technicalities of a song, right? And I'll talk about this later in terms of practice versus rehearsal. But I think sometimes we spend rehearsal time practicing, which is, you know, actually what you're supposed to do on your own. But, you know, if I've got, you know, maybe it only takes us an hour to rehearse for a set. Well, I'm scheduling a two-hour rehearsal, and that next hour we're going to spend in prayer and worshiping together and learning how to do that with our instruments, you know. So there's different ways that you can get your reps, right? But it's just being able to, it's making sure that everybody's kind of on board with it. And that kind of talks about that earlier point that I was saying, that communicating this vision to your leadership, communicating to everyone around you, so that when your youth band goes into different contexts, it's not this foreign thing of like, oh, why are the kids here for our 50-plus meeting, right? They know. No, this is a part of their development, and we are actually part of their discipleship. Cool? All right. Okay. Yeah, so you need a plan of discipleship for your team. Maybe some of you guys are in churches that have a great path of discipleship. I'm not saying you need something totally separate from that, but I'm saying if your church has maybe an underdeveloped plan of discipleship or path of discipleship, it would be very beneficial for you to have some kind of structure that actually disciples your people apart from music. Right? It's very easy to get caught up into this aspect of this is just, it's about music. And yeah, Jesus is there too, but really it's about music. No, you need a plan and a path of discipleship because we need healthy worship leaders. We need worship leaders and band members and people who serve in these ministries to actually love Jesus. That's like the core requirement for this, right? So, yeah.
Can you talk about what that looks like?
Sure. So we have currently right now a program called, we call it Prime. So every Sunday night, we gather everyone that's a part of Kingdom Worship, and we have basically a small group ministry where we systematically work through text and scripture to just grow and learn and love Jesus. And we have a time of confession with one another. We pray for one another. We worship together, and we study the scripture. That's what Prime is. There's no rehearsal. There's no skill development. There's no talking about what the set list is for the next week or anything like that. It's literally just small group time because I'll confess to you that our church right now has an underdeveloped discipleship model that we have to have this for our kids. Now, maybe it looks a little bit different for you because your church has a more developed model. The fact is that whoever it is that's a part of your church, that's a part of your ministry, needs to have this path of discipleship for them, that they're growing as believers, not just as musicians. Does that make sense? Very cool. Cool. All right, so the last part, just a few things I'm going to talk about, and then I'm just going to kind of open it up for any questions that you guys have, maybe unrelated or unrelated to what we've been talking about. Worship preparation. So this is for anybody who is going to be leading a service, that we need to take seriously worship preparation. Sometimes I'll see, there's a number of different people, but sometimes I see this, right? They're like, all right, what are the top charts? You know what I mean? And they'll literally go through and like, these are the top 10 songs. We're singing 1 to 5, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be Reckless Love, How Great Is Our God. You know what I mean? Just Ocean. You know what I mean? Like, they'll just go down the list and stuff. And I'm like, okay, like, I get it, engagement and stuff like that. But I'm not a fan of that at all, personally. Or they'll say, you know, they'll say something like this. Like, this is kind of the level up from that. They'll say, what are we talking about this week? Oh, we're talking about grace. Okay, so then they'll Google worship songs on grace, right? And then they'll be like, your grace is enough. Grace, grace, God's grace. You know what I mean? Like, how grace is your love. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. Like, yeah. So anyway, so I'm not a big fan of that either. I mean, sometimes it works in a pinch, but guys, please, we got to come away from that, right? So I'll teach you guys my process, and then you guys can apply it however, you can modify it, whatever. I usually have 1 to 2 songs that are kind of on my heart for a congregation. So when I get scheduled and I just start thinking about it, I trust that I have the mind of Christ, and I ask Jesus and I say, Lord, what's going on? And then I just kind of wait. I let it simmer. You know what I mean? Like a pot with seasoning, I just kind of let that simmer for a bit. And I'll usually have 1 to 2 songs that are maybe in my rotation that I'm listening to that I'll know, like, oh yeah, this is going to be great for our congregation. And then what I'll start to do is I'll take my guitar or piano and I'll sit down and I'll play through those 1 to 2 songs and I'll kind of see where the Lord is leading. Now, it's sometimes, like, I can kind of see a path of where things are going. So if we're talking about, if we're talking about, like, the love of God or something like that, whatever, in the service, then it might move to, like, His greatness and, like, the vastness of His love and whatnot. So there's kind of like this, like, almost like this journey that you're taking people on. And I'll write down my little notes on that. So after I've developed, after I've kind of developed maybe about a set of songs, so we'll say like 5 songs that I've kind of seen in this journey, this worship journey, then I'll go back to my guitar and I'll play again. And this time I'm actually looking for the Lord to speak through these songs. So maybe there's a part of the song that I'm like, oh man, we really need to repeat this song. I'm going to write that in. Or maybe there's a part of the song where I'm like, okay, we're actually going to let it breathe. We're going to let it sit for a second. I'll write in a moment, a Selah moment there. So there's different things that I'm looking for. Or maybe there's something that the Lord is prompting me to, like a scripture, or there's an exhortation or something like that. But I'm just basically, I'm with my set of songs, I'm trying to work through what the Lord is actually saying through these songs. And then after that, I'll communicate this to our music director. Maybe you don't have a music director, that's fine. I have a music director. So my music director and I, Keegan, we will sit down and we'll play through these songs and we will work through all of our transitions. So how we're going from one song to the next, what keys, who's going to sing what, who's going to do X, Y, and Z. We'll work through all of our transitional portions of the song. And then I'll upload that bad boy to Planning Center and then the team gets it. And that's kind of my process for picking songs. Obviously, there's a little more in-depth there, but I'm just trying to summarize it for you guys as best I can. The last thing about moving from singing songs to facilitating worship is just understanding the task at hand. And so our task as worship leaders is not to host a concert. Our task, like, our worship services should look less like a Beyoncé concert and more like a family dinner. And when I say that, I mean that we should be less focused on the perfection and the production of what we're doing, and more so focused on knowing that these are our brothers and our sisters that are in a room, and we are glorifying our Father. Think of us sitting down at a table as the family of God, and our Father is at the head, and we're just saying great things about our Father. And that's more of the picture that we want to paint for our people than it being this perfect, like, Beyoncé, you know what I mean, performance, Coachella, whatever it is, right? Like, it's... we're trying to get away from that. We're trying to move toward the family dinner aspect of things. We should be striving for more participation from our congregations. How does this look? So maybe we might involve others in prayer. So maybe there's a youth that is not competent enough to actually hang with the band, right? But they still want to be involved. And so they're actually going to be the ones reading out a written prayer, you know, or praying in between a song. Or we leave room for silence or people to sing out their own song. It's the most frustrating thing when you've got a room full of people and there's this awesome moment and the worship leader just gets up there and just cues the next song and Lion and the Lamb just starts going, da, 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 come on everybody. And you're like, what? Just what? Come on people. Like, this was such a great moment together, right? But we have to remember that this is less about us here on the stage getting our message across, and it's more actually about the conversation of God's people lifting up to Him. And so if we sense these moments of lifting, of song being lifted up or prayer being lifted up or whatever it is, don't be afraid to leave room and to leave space. Right? Don't be afraid of that. The last thing, and then I'm only going to put it out there if someone wants to ask about it in Q&A, that's fine, but we need to be able to host the spontaneous. And that's a part of our creative nature. I believe that that's a part of the creative imprint of God on us. But we need to be people who host the spontaneous and appropriately, right? If you want more on that, we can ask about it, and we'll talk more about it. We are shepherds, not entertainers. So finally, use the resources that you have available to you. How many of you guys know Jake Gosling or whatever from Churchfront?
Yeah.
Great resource. The guy, I don't know how long he's been on the scene now, but like there's some things that I'm like, man, this is gold. Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel for some of the technical things. There's a lot of resources out there now for worship teams, for worship bands. There's a ton out there. So use the resources that are out there. There's no shame in using a track. You're not any less of a musician because you use a track. Yes? Churchfront, yep. Yeah, just Google Churchfront. Yeah. He's all over it, man. That guy is a gold mine. Love him.
Yes.
Love him. All right. But there are established systems. I don't know how many of you guys have professional music training at all, but there are established systems that are out there that make music easier, that are applicable to the church world. For instance, playing with a metronome, playing with a click. So maybe you have the technology to be able to have in-ear monitors. Play with a click. It helps to bring the entire band together. It helps kind of lock people in. It gives room and space for you to operate and to do some really cool things. Play with a click. Try it out. Use the national number system. All of our teams, so everyone, from young to old, we use this thing called the Nashville number system. And what that essentially is if you have a band and I go to your band and there's a music director and it doesn't matter if I don't know the song that you're playing. If you know the numbers of the chords that you're playing, the chord progressions, I can sit in on your band and play instantly with you because it's the Nashville number system. So it's essentially taking the chords, diatonic chords of a song, and then it's assigning numbers to them. And instead of, so for your chorus, let's say your chord progression is like G, D, E minor, C. Well, on the number system, it would be 1, 5, 6, 4 because of where it falls. I won't explain any more. Please do some research on that stuff. But like there are, sorry? It believe me, it is such a lifesaver. But it takes a bit of an investment. There's a bit of a learning curve. But these systems are out there that professionals have been using for years that are very applicable to our context. Use multi-tracks. You know, maybe you don't have 6 different synth players. That's cool. You can use a track. That's fine. And then other tools like, you know, for instance, like Pro Presenter and stuff. I was at a church not too long ago, and the pastor said, well, send me the lyrics, type out the lyrics of your song and send them to me in a doc, and I'll manually make them into a slide. I was like, oh, no, I'll just bring my computer. I've got Pro Presenter on it. We'll do this in 5 seconds. Like, it'll help a lot of the things that you're doing. Maybe you're already familiar with all of these things. Maybe you're familiar with none of them. But, yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to share 5 principles, really quick statements of things that I have learned. And then I'm going to open it up for a question and answer, okay? If you focus on skill, you'll chase depth and significance forever. If you focus on worship, the skill will come, and you'll have a well that will never run dry. Sure. If you focus on skill, you'll chase depth and significance forever. If you focus on worship, the skill will come, and you'll have a well that will never run dry. Never be too afraid to allow youth to invest in themselves. If they value something, they'll invest in it. Yep, never be too afraid to allow youth to invest in themselves. If they value something, they'll invest in it. Set the bar high. People will rise to it. Keep discipleship and rehearsal separate. You'll never win at both together. Practice is what you do at home. Rehearsal is putting our practice together. So that's it. I want to open it up for some Q&A, and then right before, I want to pray for you guys, and then we'll cut you guys loose. Sure. Number four is keep discipleship and rehearsal separate. Yep, keep discipleship and rehearsal separate. You'll never win at both together. Yep, the last one is practice is what you do at home. Rehearsal is putting our practice together. All right.